What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Wednesday. It is hump day. So very appropriately, we are sitting here with Bryce, Streis, Jackson, Claude. The four of us are going to be humping all throughout the day. I hope your day looks something like that, honestly.
The four of us are back together. It's been, I can't even tell you how long since both Bryce and Streis were on camera with the two of us. And the gang is back together. Nature is healed.
Nature is healed. Maybe that's a really good segue to one of the things we wanted to talk about at the beginning of today's episode. Healed.
Healed.
What's Come on, that? Jackie.
Healed.
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 I don't know.
Yourselves.
Yourselves. Oh, wow. We're going to just jump right
well,
in.
Well, I thought it was like a mutual like nod.
It was a far-reaching segue, but I appreciate the segue.
I actually don't think it was far-reaching at all. Like, I was shocked you didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah, sorry. I really didn't know. We will address that. Let's just finish with our introduction before we get into the controversy.
Yeah. Another day, another controversy.
Happy Wednesday. We have a great show for you today because we have Dear Toasters. Mm-hmm. As stated, we will be addressing Unburden Yourselves.
We will. We will be addressing the controversy.
Three, we watched the Tell Me Lies finale. Season finale last night. And like, I'm so glad that we did because I have so many thoughts.
Yeah.
I can't believe that it's not a limited series.
I know. I'm like annoyed.
And that we're waiting for season two to be greenlit. Yeah. It's giving society.
Yeah.
I think I actually have to read the book because...
Because you're so curious.
Because I'm so curious. Mm-hmm. Four, we dropped an amazing Patreon episode last night. So late last night, Claude and I came to the studio. We snuck on up here with our little Halloween candy.
It was toast after dark.
It was toast after dark. Even the lighting's different. We're no makeup.
It was frightening.
We posted video and audio and it was the part two of the general Q&A, which was questions for me. And it was just a grand old time.
Yeah.
And if you're not already a patron, let me tell you what we have on offer for you this month, plus everything else we've done over the last 4 years.
Which includes our highlights, like the Great Chili Cook-Off, Jackie learning how to drive, the vlog, the mukbang vlog.
The mukbang vlog, like every time we took a trip, Stagecoach, Coachella, it's all there. Every podcast, we've answered really every question. But this month, we had Claudia interviewing me, which was last night. Last week, I interviewed Claudia with all the questions that you guys have for her. We had our Taylor Swift cookies attempt, mm-hmm. which was great. The first episode this month was...
I don't know.
Was it studying for the permit? For the permit test?
Was it?
I think so.
We're getting Jackie ready to get her license. Like, we're really covering all of our bases on Patreon. And if you are a Patreon member, you also get access to the pre-sale for my shows, which today we launched two shows in New York that we're going to be filming for a special and a show in Delaware that only Patreon girlies get access to. So,
and separately, a show in Delaware.
And separately, a show in Delaware. Yeah, the one in Delaware is not being taped. I was like trying to really find a way to announce all three shows without making it seem like the one in Delaware was being taped. And no matter how many ways I typed it, like, it was still confusing.
It's still misleading.
So let me just say right now, like, Delaware is going to be amazing and it will not be recorded.
But that's not a reason not to go.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So there's really no reason that you shouldn't join Patreon.
It's just a great time for the patrons. Plus, Claudia and I are going to bank some content while she's here. Some really fun episodes for the month of November. So... yeah, patreon.com/thetoast.
Now let's dive into the controversy. So we're going on quite a few Mondays where we have not done our, you know, signature segment, Unburden Yourselves. And a lot of people after this week's episode were like writing in the comments and
there
on Facebook.
There had been whispers. There had been YouTube comments.
Did I miss something? What happened to Unburden? And yes, you are not. You haven't missed anything. Jackie and I haven't done it in a few weeks. At first, it was because Mondays recently became like such long episodes for us. We had House of the Dragon recap and then like just the weekend recap, and we would have been going on like 2 hour episodes. And actually our memory card really can only sustain a 90 minute episode. That is the longest we can do daily. And I think that's like, that's enough, you know?
Yeah.
So that was part of the reason. And I think also Jackie and I were feeling like a little uninspired by the segment.
I feel like you were, because you felt like it was very similar to Dear Toasters. But yeah. I like Unburden Yourselves. I don't think Unburden Yourselves is over. I just think we went on hiatus because the last few Mondays were really jam-packed. And then we didn't even realize we weren't doing it, and neither of us missed it. But now that I'm seeing that there's so much fanfare for it, I guess this has been a really great learning moment, because I didn't realize how much you guys loved it. And now with everyone shouting out for it, it makes me feel like I want to do it again.
For me, fundamentally, like there is a fundamental issue with the segment in the sense that it either really is too similar to Dear Toasters, or we're just talking about poop, which like is fun every couple of weeks, but like once a week, like a 20 minute segment on duty, like it's not that fun.
That's not who we want to be, but we can curate better the ones that we choose.
We also don't get great submissions. Like,
oh, not you blaming the audience.
No, a lot of the submissions are asking for advice, which is Dear Toasters.
Yeah, or we just feel compelled to give advice. But I don't think we should give up on unburdening ourselves, because it's so great. It's so fun to say. And people do need to unburden themselves. Like, let's get back to what the original intent was, which was to take that burden off of people who like have a anxiety and a pit after the weekend.
Okay, like feel free to fill up the inbox, unburdenyourselves@gmail.com. I'm not willing to let it go either, but I do think changes need to be made.
Okay.
That's just my take on the situation.
I don't disagree.
But I appreciate the outpouring of fanfare and love and support for Unburden Yourselves. And now that House of the Dragon is over.
True.
We do kind of have the space for it.
We do have. I think it's perfect timing.
Yeah.
Life is all about timing, you guys.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
Timing is everything.
Speaking of timing, at this time tomorrow, Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern time, our sorority crew next will have restocked on shopmorningtoast.com. We are restocking our iconic sorority sweaters that everyone has been asking us to restock for quite some time. We finally did it. Pictures will be up on our Instagram. If you have any questions, feel free to drop a DM, drop a comment. It's a big week here at the Morning Toast. It's kind of just like mogul, mogul, mogul.
We're also attempting to drop something else tomorrow it was a really quick turnaround.
Oh yeah.
It was a little special treat. So keep your eyes peeled on our Instagram. Hopefully we'll be able to announce it today and that we're able to do it in time for tomorrow. It was like an idea that we had this week. So
yeah, a little something for the mamas.
It's a little something for the mamas, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, forgot about that. Good call. So again, just like mogul, mogul, mogul. Like it's exhausting. But somebody's got to do it.
I mean, look at these Strice brethren. They're exhausted.
They're exhausted. I'm so glad to be podcasting with them yet again. We do have Dear Toasters today, which really is like one of my favorite things to do. Just interesting to see what goes on in people's lives, you know?
Yeah. What's my favorite?
I'm like
segment?
Nosy. We don't have that many segments. That was part of the reason why we birthed Unburden Yourselves.
Yeah. I guess one of my favorite, it's not a segment. My favorite time of the show is the pre-Fast Five, like just catching up with Jackson Claude, you know, I used to tell everyone what I was reading, and now I've been deeply humbled and silenced. No, we talked about it on last night's Patreon, how I'm feeling about all of the commentary about yesterday's episode.
The discourse.
And the book talk, even though, of course, after the Patreon, then all the fans came out for me. Right. But no, it definitely gave me something to think about, and we thought about it last night's episode, so I'm not going to have the same conversation again. But that is my favorite segment, everything that goes down before the Fast Five.
A favorite segment of mine is, of course, Kelly's Mindless News, because it really felt like it was just this like errant thought I had one time about Kelly Ripa, and then it like came to fruition. It turns out like I was right, you know?
Yeah.
Like, one thing about me, I love being right. It's honestly like better than anything. There's better than donuts. Like, there's nothing better than being proved right. And actually, it has been a while since we did Kelly's Mindless News, because honestly, I just got fatigued by Kelly.
No, and we were adding like, I just
we were
like
part of the problem.
When did our episodes get so long?
Okay, we were just talking about this offline yesterday.
I love it. I'm so here for it. But I feel like we used to be really between like 45 minutes and an hour. And now we're between an hour and
hour 20. Yeah.
What's going on?
I think it's because we've like expanded the pre-stories chit-chat, like making it about ourselves. Because at first, I think people really used to tune into the show just to hear like two funny girls' thoughts on other things. Uh-huh. And now like those funny girls have become so beautiful and interesting. Like, I'd actually like to hear about the funny girls themselves as well.
And they can unburden themselves.
Right. I do think that's like the genesis. But yes, we are like averaging an hour and 15 minutes every single day, which is like so psychotic.
Yeah, I think everybody, I mean, I know everyone loves it, and it's not even like we're trying. It's really,
Au naturale.
Crazy.
It's au naturale. So today's show is going to be long because we have the Fast Five, we have Tell Me Lies recap, and we have Dear Toasters.
And we have the Streisand brothers, so you never know when we're going to just be distracted and overcome with Streis love.
With emotion. When you like say Tell Me Lies, what do you think?
I think of because of you, because you always sing, tell me lies,
tell me lies.
I don't even know what that is.
Tell me sweet little lies. I think it's a Fleetwood Mac song that I only know from the Fleetwood Mac episode of Glee.
I think of it all the time because of you. I'm not thinking of a song that I know. I think of this tune my sister sings.
Tell me lies. Are there like songs? I mean, I know there is for me, but like what songs come to mind that you only know because of Glee? That are like very well-known classic songs, but you hadn't heard of them because you were a child.
Bust Your Windows.
Was that an original?
No.
From Glee? No.
I don't think so. It was like early episodes.
I bust the windows out, you cat. Mine is, that always comes to mind, is, oh, right beside that red firelight.
Yep.
Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out, that bottom, girls. You make the rockin' world go round. Very appropriate. Our fifth and final story today is a lot of chit-chat about the fat phobia Taylor Swift is being, in my opinion, wrongfully accused of.
It's actually not the fifth and final. I think it's the second or third.
Oh.
Fifth and final is a TikTok trend that I want to get your thoughts on that I think will spark interesting debate about Gen Z.
Which your favorite.
My favorite. I wonder how Gen Z feels about me.
I think that like if they saw you, they'd be obsessed with you. And then if they listened to the podcast, they would hate you.
That's what I mean. I don't care how they feel about my looks, like even though that's really nice to
hear. No, I think they would be like, oh my God, she's sickening, like unique. The thing about Gen Z is like they really are looking for like not like your standard, your typical standard of beauty. Like you really are like unique looking, like you have porcelain skin, red hair. I think they would love you and you're very naturally beautiful. You don't wear a ton of makeup. Like I think they, like from an aesthetic POV, Gen Z would love you. And then like when they get on here and hear you talking about like how homework is good for them, like they would hate you.
You think that they wouldn't like my POV?
No, like not at all.
Really?
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think like you like kind of look down on Gen Z and think they're dumb.
No, I
do.
I actually, not at all.
Okay.
My perception of Gen Z is very high. Okay. I feel like Gen Z might save us all. That's how I feel.
Okay, well, maybe now that you've said that, they'll change your minds.
Because, I mean, I hadn't really thought about Gen Z. And I feel like now they just are lumped in with TikTok. But, like, I don't think they're one in the same.
They're similar.
There's overlap. The Venn diagram is definitely crisscrossing.
Right.
But I remember I once read an article about Gen Z, like, a few years ago when people were still trying to define them. And the references they shared were, you know, Modern Family, the sister, not
Ariel Winter,
like her character. She's very like precocious and smart,
yeah,
level-headed, and she thinks her millennial sister is like a big loser. And like that was an example they gave of Gen Z. They gave a few like pop culture references and I was like, Gen Z. I like what I see in Gen Z.
Okay, well, maybe we'll clip this and put it on TikTok so that the kids can see that you have high respect for them.
And they always like our TikToks.
That's true. That's true. That's so true.
So I'm feeling good about Gen Z.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that settles that.
But not this trend that I saw.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it in the Fast Five that we can get into whenever you're ready. Oh, you know, really quick. I just had like a list of things. Let me just make sure I check because we said right before we needed to talk about something.
Got them all.
Yep. 5 out of 5. You're done.
I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I guess not.
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Yeah. I'll get into the Fast Five just because I need to recap Tell Me Lies.
Okay.
So without further ado.
Where are you? Bruno loves his auntie.
Bruno loves his auntie so much. He's going to be forlorn when you leave. Honestly, like he's going to be more upset about your departure than Nolio's.
Yeah, of course.
No, but like Nolia is his lady love girlfriend.
For sure. But like I literally like make sure he gets eat, fed, walk. Like I'm literally his caretaker.
I'm like, I'm already sad for him.
But I'm not going anywhere. And when I do leave, I am coming back.
Imminently. Okay, fine. So without now further ado about the ado brothers, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is sponsored by Beekeepers Naturals. During cold and flu season, we are doing everything we can to make sure we stay healthy. That's why I've been using the Propolis Immune Support Throat Spray from Beekeepers Naturals because it keeps me in tip-top shape. So the Immune Support Throat Spray, I'm using it nonstop when I'm traveling to support my immune system when it matters most. One thing about me is like I am prone to throat issues. I don't know why, but like I'm always getting like strep, like I'm always getting throat things. And when I travel, obviously my immune system's a little bit down and I'm always always getting sick after I travel. So traveling with products from Beekeepers Natural, especially while on tour, has been a really great little tip for me, a little travel tip. Call me the points girl.
Also, a throat spray is everything of the sort.
Agreed.
And it really is sickness season right now. Yeah. There's a bunch of things flying going around and then they sometimes come together and you need all the immunity support that you can get.
So propolis is made by bees and it's backed by science. It was another great day of saving the bees. So bee propolis acts as the bee's medicine. It contains vitamin Bs, vitamin C, zinc, and over 300 beneficial compounds and minerals that are amazing for the human immune system. Propolis is the defender of the hive, and bees use it to protect their hive from any bacteria that might harm them. It's basically the hive's immune system. So medicinal use of propolis dates way back to like 300 BCE in the times of Aristotle, your girly. Aristotle is thought to have coined the word propolis, which means defender of the city, which is like Greek pro. Give me a word, any word, and I'll show you it is Greek.
Propolis.
Pro, before, polis, city. Propolis, defender of the city. That was good. That wasn't in my notes, you know, it was just kind of like improv. So Beekeepers Natural products are totally trustworthy. They're made with clean ingredients. They're keto, paleo, gluten-free, natural. They're third-party tested. They have no artificial colors, preservatives, fillers, alcohol, gluten, GMO, pesticides, and refined sugar. So today, Beekeepers Natural is offering you an exclusive offer when you go to beekeepersnaturals.com/toast, or you can just enter code toast to get 25% off your first order. That's beekeepersnaturals.com/toast, beekeepersnaturals.com/toast, code toast. Beekeepers Naturals products are also available at Target, Whole Foods, CVS, and Walgreens. You can start feeling better every day today.
Thank you so much, McClardia.
You're welcome.
First story, Rihanna has returned to music with a new song for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. 1 week after rumors started floating that Rihanna would be coming back to music, it has been officially confirmed. Marvel Studios announced that a new song from Rihanna would be out this Friday as part of the Black Panther Wakanda Forever soundtrack. The tweet simply included the looking eyes emoji and the video was simply an R with October 28, 2022.
This is obviously very exciting for everyone who's like obsessed with Rihanna's music. I love Rihanna's music. I actually think her last album, Anti, which was 400 years ago, is like truly a work of art that just gets better and better and better. However, I have not been waiting with bated breath for Rihanna's music. And I feel like I've said this before. Like I love the mogul era that she's in, like Savage X Fenty, Fenty Beauty. Like I feel satiated by Rihanna. So of course I'm going to listen and enjoy, but I'm not like finally, like I feel like a lot of people are. I've been okay without music from Rihanna.
I've been okay just because it's not what she wants to be doing. So I'm going to be okay with that. But I think there is something missing in
culture,
the landscape, and that's Rihanna. And so if she wants to come back to us, I think it's best for everyone.
On the count of three, let's say the best Rihanna song, okay?
Oh. Oh, there's so many. Spotify.
Okay, never mind.
Then you just wanted to say yours. Okay.
Bitch better have my money.
Oh, so good.
Because you know what? A bitch better have my fucking money.
Oh, so good.
And like the way she just like obviously when I say it, it doesn't like feel like cool. But like when Rihanna says it, it's like, no, seriously, a bitch better have her fucking money, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm like, if I'm that bitch, I'm quaking, you know? Because she's so sickening. I'm really thrilled. That really is such a good song. Was that on, that was like part of, like, in my opinion, her musical peak, which was her most recent album. Was that song on the most recent album or was it just a single, like a DJ Khaled moment?
I remember it as a single, but maybe it was part of a larger album. I feel like it was part of the album because she was like doing a lot of music videos at the time.
Oh my God, actually.
But I feel like her musical peak, not like, I feel like there is no peak. Like she's kept ascending. She's still at the top and like we're waiting to hear what's next.
You know what's like a really close runner up to the best song? 4 or 5 seconds from Wildin'. Honestly, that song was a cult. Oh, it's Kanye. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm still gonna listen to it. That song is so good.
Oh, how do you feel about still listening to his music?
To be honest, I really haven't been like into Kanye's music for like quite some time. So like, I'm not like, honestly though, the only album from Kanye that like I love is The Life of Pablo. Mm-hmm. I know like his work before that is some of like the most critically acclaimed. Honestly, I don't really fuck with it. And then the work after, like the Christ stuff. Like, I was into it for like a second, but like, honestly, like I never listened to it. I don't think I ever listened to like that album in full. The only album that like I really loved was T-Lop, The Life of Pablo. But even then, like, I don't really listen to it that much. Every now and then I'll remember the song Ultralight Beam and then I'll sing it. So like, I think I'll still do that.
Yeah.
It obviously won't hit the same, but 4 or 5 Seconds is such a sickening, unbelievable song. I think it's one of the best songs released in our generation. Like, it's so different, you know? Yeah. And the music video was gorgeous. I will be still fucking with that song. I'm sorry. And you know what? I can.
Yeah, you can. You can do whatever you want.
Honestly, like, me being forced to stop doing the things I enjoy, that's anti-Semitic.
Yeah, no, and then you're just suffering more.
Right, no, and like, haven't my people suffered enough?
But the problem for me is, like, on principle, sure, if I wanted to listen to a Kanye song, I would listen to a Kanye song, but it would just, like, remind me.
But you can't really enjoy it.
And I would just be, like, thinking about, like, global anti-Semitism. I just feel sick to my stomach. No. And, like, I'm just trying to enjoy my workout or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to. That's how I feel about, like, that. So it's not necessarily like the crime itself that it's like, I'm never banned this feeling. Music. It's the feeling and like the reminder of the issues. And it's like, I don't want to be reminded of the issues right
when
now.
When I'm just trying to bop to this bop.
When I'm just trying to glam myself for a fun night out.
Okay, like, but you know what? For me, like the best song of the part of the 4 or 5 seconds, like, is Rihanna's part. So like, maybe I just won't listen to the first verse, which is Kanye.
But if you're cutting it out, then you're like reminding yourself again, you know?
I just feel like you don't want to find a solution, like, for real. Like, you're yucking all of my yums.
Am I?
Yeah.
I said, do whatever you want.
No, you said, well, here's the problem with you still listening to it. Here's the problem with it out.
I didn't say the problem with you still listening to it. I said the problem for me.
No, and by the way, I'd probably have the same experience, but, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I could still, I'm still woman enough to admit that 4 or 5 seconds is the greatest song of all time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know about like of all time.
Of the last like 15 years.
The climbs out there, but.
Toast is out there. Mm. Silly me.
But yeah, no, I don't, it's good stuff. Anyways.
What was the story?
Rihanna, Friday.
Oh yeah, okay, Friday.
But I just want to say, I'm sure the song will be amazing and yeah. It also has to be.
It has to be, there's so much pressure. Mm-hmm. It's just been really like a sickening kind of week for music. We've got Rihanna, we've got Taylor. Meghan Trainor's new album came out. So did Carly Rae Jepsen's, and they both came out the same night as Taylor Swift's, which just kind of sucks. Like, two pop girls who I think are both like super underrated. Meghan Trainor's in like this comeback era, and it's like mostly from TikTok. And the music, I was telling you about this when we were in your kitchen, the music she's been releasing is so fire. It's so good. She's really like a very talented songwriter.
She is.
And I love this comeback era for her. And like, I do wish she chose a different date because we'd all be talking about her album more.
Yeah.
And then Carly Rae Jepsen, there's actually like the, what do they call themselves? I might be wrong about this. I saw something on TikTok that the Carly Rae Jepsen fans call themselves Ray, R-A-E, racists.
No.
Like, maybe it was one person making a joke, but like, is that what the fandom calls themselves? I thought it was Carly extremely Rae toxic. Jepsen. Fandom name.
What does Carly Rae Jepsen call her fans? Jepsies.
Okay. Well, somebody called themselves a racist, which I thought was very unique. However, she also released her album and there's like a huge movement like to get Carly Rae Jepsen the respect she so rightly deserves. And she was overshadowed by Taylor Swift, but she has a song going viral and I'm really happy for her. What happened was we reached the moon. But lost in space, I think we got there all too soon. I'm coming back for you, baby. I'm coming back for you. And now people are really kind of opening themselves up to the world of Carly Rae.
Great. I'm happy for them. But like, welcome to 2012.
Right. Like if you...
And you missed her previous albums, which were Fire Flame. So back it up. Listen to those.
Cut to the Feeling. Like... is one of the best songs of all time.
Yeah, no, but even her first album,
mm-hmm.
All those songs are amazing.
Yeah. Is that, I really, really, really,
no,
really,
that's her
really.
Second album and that song's annoying.
Beyond.
Yeah, it's always the annoying ones that they-
That go viral, yeah. Hello, Call Me Maybe.
No, that's actually a really good song, sonically.
Sonically.
It became annoying because everyone kept playing it, but even if you heard it today, like you couldn't help but tap your foot.
Yeah, but I'm also not someone who's
like- it's like, I knew you were trouble. That's like what-
Yeah, yeah, that's like sonically a good song, but like if I hear it, I have to jump off a bridge, you know?
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
I really am.
James Corden has addressed Balthazar Gate mm-hmm. on his show, saying his wife's food allergy was the reason for his rude comment at the New York City restaurant.
So she's allergic to yellows of eggs.
Whites of eggs.
But not the yellows.
But not the yellows. Okay. In his monologue.
Sure, James.
On the Late Late Show, he alleged that his wife was given food she was allergic to, and he recounted the series of events. He said, quote, "So we sit down, we ordered, and my wife explained that she has a serious food allergy. So when everybody's meals came, my wife was given the food that she was allergic to. But she hadn't taken a bite of it or anything, no worries. We sent it back, all was good. When it came back wrong more than once," he said, quote, "in the heat of the moment, I made a sarcastic, rude comment about cooking it myself. It is a comment I deeply regret. I understand the difficulties of being a server. I work shifts at restaurants for years. I have such respect and I value anyone that does such a job. And the team at that restaurant are so great. That's why I love it there." Mm. He thought the matter was over after the staff brought out champagne as an apology. He said, "I've been walking around thinking that I hadn't done anything wrong, right? But the truth is I made a rude comment and it was wrong. It was an unnecessary comment. It was ungracious to the server."
It's also an unnecessary comment coming from like a different, like he's in the position of power, not only because he's the customer, but because he's like deeply famous. And one thing about me is like in the last week, I've become extremely untrustworthy of James Corden. Like, I'm just like not buying anything he says.
Really?
I feel like that most previous interview he did where he was like really dismissive of the whole thing, but now he's addressing it. Like, he's been a little all over the place. What? And I just feel like we don't know the real James Corden.
What? Okay, yes, but what part of this do you think he's lying about? Because if he tells anything untrue, you know Keith McNally's gonna take to Instagram.
I want a doctor to tell me if it's possible to be allergic to yolk, to be allergic to egg white, but not yolk. Yes. Like Google doesn't count.
So no. I saw like it is possible, and that's why for some reason some people can't get certain vaccines. There's something about like this egg allergy.
Oh, okay, maybe it is real.
I think it's a real thing. Can you be allergic to egg white only? Allergy to egg whites is most common, even though both yolks and whites can contain proteins that cause allergies. Allergy to egg whites is most common.
Okay, well,
again,
that's that.
I don't think at this point, and he's finally addressing it, I don't think he would tell a lie.
Okay, but also, like,
he might put on a mask.
I think that this is the situation where it's, like, my truth versus your truth, because maybe that is how James Corden saw it. And, like, I can imagine, like, him thinking he made, like a offhand remark was actually really fucking rude.
Yeah. No, I think some people have no self-awareness, doesn't even realize, like, he's James Corden. This person is, like, there's a power imbalance, and I could see how he like said something snarky that came off much ruder than he intended, and now we're in this situation. I think
that this version of events like really genuinely might be his truth.
But what about what he's saying doesn't line up with what Keith said?
The sequence of events are the same, but like how he perceived what he said and how he acted, I imagine it was much worse.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
But the comment, no matter how you, whatever.
Because celebrities just in general tend to be out of touch. And I feel like now we've kind of gotten confirmation, like James Corden's like kind of a dick.
Yes, yes, yes. But just, I mean, you want to talk about this specific incident, because like literally low key, this whole thing is like ruining his life.
No, it's not.
No, like, and I mean, people already disliked him. So I think like they're happy to
continue
now. Yeah. But the comment devoid of tone, like because it could have been said in one way or another, was I should just go and cook the food myself.
Yeah.
And that's really what made him, to Keith McNally, the most abusive customer he's ever
encountered. Right. Well, he could have, but that's the thing. It's like, did he say, man, I guess I should just cook this myself, or I should bloody get in the kitchen and cook this myself?
Right.
You know, like tone, intonation, like it's important. And I could just see him being like rude about it. Like, and I don't think that like Keith McNally would just make some shit up, even though genuinely I know nothing about him.
Right.
Yeah, no. The thing for me, like I'm just basing this off of like how I can see the interaction going, and like I could see him being rude.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that he was not kind, and he said like it wasn't nice and he is sorry.
Cool.
It's just really crazy that this has become like a worldwide story when you boil it down to one comment. I should go and cook it myself.
One comment that we know of.
But Keith would tell us if there were others.
No, like at different restaurants.
Oh, right. No, but this story in particular is about that I should go and cook it myself.
No, I just think like overall, it's a part of the story where it's like we're peeling back the layers of James Corden.
Yeah, well, that's a separate story.
Yeah.
But I just feel like
this James Corden, like from here on out, like really needs to act right, because everyone's going to be looking for a situation to expose him. Because we feel
he's about to be the nicest man in Hollywood.
Right. Because we feel like there's something off and we need to get proof. And like people are going to be looking for that proof. So he has to give people nothing. He needs to be the kindest, nicest, most generous and gracious man in all of Los Angeles.
And he shouldn't leave his house.
Never.
No.
Stay inside, James.
Yeah, he's on thin ice.
Truly.
So I guess that's the end of Balthazar Gate for James Corden now that he's addressed it.
Yeah, he had to say something, because if he didn't, it would really be like, oh, he just is like that.
Yeah. So
but now but I guess we've been given.
But you still think he's like that?
I've been given pause. I'm like, let me see if something else happens, you know, to fully confirm.
Right. Because someone can have a bad moment.
And I just want to say, I'm not really one of these people who like despises James Corden.
No.
Like the internet really hates him. They think every time he enters a project, he ruins the project. I actually like him. I think that like his show is the best of all the crap that's on at late night. I think he's actually funny and has good relationships with celebrities and like is a good interviewer in the segments. I'm sure they're not like his ideas, but I think his show is good. Like I don't really even dislike him.
Yeah.
So I'm not like just saying that because I hate him and he's ruining the Wicked movie, you know?
I agree. Are you ready for our next story?
Yes, ma'am.
A little more controversy. Mm. Taylor Swift has been accused of fat phobia, prompting others to defend her message. So Taylor on Friday released a video for Antihero, the first single off her album Midnights, and the video quickly stirred controversy due to a scene in which the singer stands on a scale that reads fat. Many people on social media have accused the singer of fat phobia. The backlash has also resulted in other voices coming to her defense, many of whom cite Swift's past struggles with an eating disorder. So she's in the video, she steps on the scale and
it's, let me just paint a picture for those who don't know. The concept of the music video is like the things that keep you up at night. Mm-hmm. And clearly a big part of Taylor's, you know, anxiety and things that keep her up at night is her weight, her physical appearance. So there's kind of like this green monster on her shoulder who makes her get on the scale. She looks down at the scale and instead of saying a number, it just says fat. And then like the green monster goes like tisk, tisk, tisk.
Right.
So that's the concept of the video. Scene. Yeah.
And so people are saying,
like, oh, Taylor's worst fear keeping her up at night is being fat, but I'm fat. Is fat bad?
And then also people saying, this is Dr. Charlotte Ord, shocking that no one involved in the making of Taylor Swift's music video realized how harmful it is to use the word fat on a weighing scale to illustrate her battle with an ED. Just thinking about the impact on her young fans of all body sizes, hashtag fat phobia.
Okay, another but like, person, isn't...
It is possible to appreciate Taylor Swift in Midnight as an artist and call her out on her blatant fat phobia. Taylor Swift should have done better because even if it is relatable and an intrusive thought, it is damaging and fat phobic. Listen to fat people when they tell you it is.
Okay, well, I'm a fat person and everyone's going to listen to me, okay? I literally don't care. Like, I just don't care. And this is not because I'm a Taylor apologist. I feel like I'm actually, when it comes to Taylor, like, I feel like I'm pretty rational. Am I not? Like, if I saw something that, like rubbed me the wrong way, like, I probably would say something about it. I'd be, like, low-key and, like, I'd, like, tiptoe around it, but I would say it. I saw this. I didn't even think anything of it. And then there's, like, backlash, and I'm like, oh, my God, what now? And I'm looking into it. And I really haven't seen an argument compelling enough for me to believe that, like, she did anything wrong. I think... It's not like the whole point of an eating disorder like anorexia or bulimia is like you're so fucking fearful of being overweight that you take these extreme measures that like fuck with your mental health and your physical health just so you could be anything but fat. And this music video is about Taylor. It's about Taylor's life, Taylor's thoughts, Taylor's experience, and that is her experience. So you putting your shit on that is like irrelevant in my opinion.
I agree. I it wouldn't have ever crossed my mind that this would be an issue for people, though, now seeing, you know, everybody's hot takes, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And I want to say something that's, like, deeply problematic. And honestly, like, you could call me fatphobic after I say that.
I love that for you.
But I am a person who has been fat. I've been thin, not in a long time, but I've been there. So I'm not unfamiliar with the territory that comes with weight and what it does to your health, physical, mental. And I think it's worth saying, and like, I don't know if I'm a part of the problem, but like, I don't want to be fat. Like, I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way it limits my mobility, my ability to run around and play with Rolled. Like, I find it very limiting, and I personally don't want to be fat. So I can relate to that sentiment. Is that crazy?
Not crazy at all. I think that's very rational. I think that's something that like,
and I'm not saying that being fat is bad, but personally, I don't want to be fat.
Yeah, no, but I don't think that's like a personally to you thing. You know, like I don't think what you're saying is so crazy. I think there are But I think there's downsides, like, and health implications.
I think that there are people who,
it's not just about like how you look. It's,
but I think this is like a for me, it's a lot about how I look, if I'm being honest.
For sure,
like,
but okay.
It just is. I think like in the fat community, there's like two ways of thinking. I think there are people like who are fat and like are learning to live with it, even though they don't want to be, because they're just limited in their ability to lose weight, whether it's whatever reason. And then there are people who are confident in that and are healthy with it and like cool with it. And I'm really happy for those people. Like I really am. But like that shouldn't be required of all fat people. Like, I don't want to be fat. And so I think it's great that there's a part of the community that empowers themselves to love themselves. But I can't, and I don't want to. So like, I think that's valid too.
Yeah.
I really do. But I think it's important to respect each other's thoughts. Like, I respect you want to stay how you are and you love it. Love that for you, girly. Keep going. You're stunning. Someone else, you hate the way you look and it's because of your weight and you want to lose weight. You know what? I love that too, girly. I'll go to the gym with you. You know what I mean? Like, I just think both POVs are valid. And I think the one about like not liking being fat, it's often criticized and like those people are silenced and like called fat phobic.
For sure. So I think what critics would say is like, well, Taylor's not fat. She's not been fat. So is she allowed to have her feet like,
well, Taylor is a human being, so she's allowed to feel.
Right.
Taylor's also a human being.
There's the, in general, everyone like, when we're talking about
any a certain sort of group,
a certain issue or a certain group will say, well, you're not this. So
you're supposed
can't
to listen to the right. person from that group. Yeah. Well, Taylor has been very open about her years long struggle with an eating disorder. I mean, you can look at pictures of her and see there was a really long period where she was clearly underweight and really unhealthy. And that's not a physical thing. That's like a mental thing. So just because she's not fat enough for you doesn't mean she's not entitled to like body dysmorphia or body thoughts about her own body.
Right.
Just because it's not valid to you doesn't mean it's not valid to her. And just because you think your situation is worse or more relevant doesn't mean that this human being going through an experience doesn't exist and isn't valid. Like, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah.
I don't. Oh, and keep in mind, she's also like a woman in the media. So she has 10 times more fucked up problems about her body than we do, because we don't get paparazzi'd and called, you know, pregnant on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
Well, some of us do, but you know what I mean? Like, she's still a human being. Like, she still is valid in her life experience and her thoughts. And just because you don't see how it could be, because if that was me, if I was Taylor, wouldn't have a single body problem, be walking around naked. It's still invalidating her experience. That's fucking rude. Like, it's rude. So I guess that's my thoughts.
I appreciate that.
You said the women of The View were defending Taylor. Do you know what they said? I was just curious because I feel like they would have been like pile on.
Yeah,
you know.
For sure. I'll pull up what they said. They're,
I'm just curious.
Overall message. They said that the critics missed the point. So they came to her defense for engaging with deeply personal body image issues. Sunny said they missed the point. For someone who's an artist, she gets to have agency over her artistry. She was describing a personal experience. Right. And quite frankly, it's a personal experience a lot of women experience.
No matter what they look like, by the way, no matter how much they weigh.
Yeah, I've experienced it. And men, you get on the scale and you're a perfectly normal weight and all you see is fat. All mm-hmm. you see is, oh my gosh, I'm 5 pounds heavier than I should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just not going to get all bent out of shape over this. And I think... Also, and this is, a problem in pop culture, but specifically like in the Swiftie fandom, the stock we put in other people. Like, I saw, and I was, the reason why it reminded me that we should talk about this, because I was just scrolling TikTok and I'm very much on the Swift side of TikTok, and somebody posted that the music video that the version she had uploaded to, not YouTube, but like another platform, had this part taken out. Like, she's obviously in the process of taking it out. And someone was like, I'm so glad she did this. Like, it's ruined my week. I was so disappointed. I've been crying all week. And it's like, well, that's another problem. Like, really, as human beings, like, we need to do less when it comes to like the people that we follow and engage and are fans of. And like, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan. And like, if she said something that I really hated and disagreed with, like, I don't think I would for a week be upset and be crying about it. Like, I would be annoyed for sure. And I'd love to talk about it on the podcast, but I wouldn't. I think we all collectively, like, we need to calm down and stop putting so much stake in other people. It's really not healthy. Like, imagine if the stake that like, and the energy like we put into Taylor, like we put into ourselves too. Like, it's so toxic this way of like,
where people that we actually know,
right? Or like our family,
like your local heroes. What about a teacher, you know?
Yeah, no, I just think like in general the amount of energy and like focus and attention and emotions, like fans put into their favorite celebrities that, like, if and when that favorite celebrity does something that they don't necessarily love, the way it destroys them, like, that's really unhealthy. It really is not normal. And I feel like that's a huge takeaway from this whole thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Agreed.
I think facts were spoken.
Yeah. I just feel like we've gotten to a point where, like, sorry.
No, this is just my conclusion,
because I don't want people to take anything I said out of context, because I'm still thinking it through as I'm speaking it.
Yes.
So I just want my major takeaway to be, I feel like we've gotten to a place where, like, if you're overweight by society standards, you have to, like, accept it. And I, as a fat person, don't accept that. Like, I feel like if you're overweight and you want to lose weight, like, that is valid and that's okay. And that's part of the reason why, like, since I've been losing weight, like, I don't even really want to talk about it, because it's like I'm, like, betraying my fat people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and every time we talk about it,
I get, like, shit for it. Yeah. And, like, I'm just not in the mood. So, like, I'm still working through my thoughts. So I'm not trying to upset anyone, because I feel like this is, like, a triggering topic. But I just think, like, everyone's experience is valid, and wanting to lose weight is a valid experience. It is. It's just as valid as everyone else. And I feel like we got to a place where, like, you're, like, the villain if you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts.
Great. Thank you for
And I've always
them.
Felt that way. Like, at my highest, lowest, like, I've never really, I work on getting comfortable in my own skin, because mm-hmm. I love to be a confident girly. But no matter how much I weigh, because I could see people being like, well, you've recently lost weight, so that's why you're saying this. No, even at my highest and my happiest, I still wanted to lose weight.
Yeah.
So this is not, like, a new thing, I just want to say.
Yeah.
Now I'm done. You can turn your iPad back on. You keep turning it on and turning it off.
Yeah, no, I don't mind turning it off. The next story is far less interesting. Just something that you said made me want to ask you a question, but
yeah.
Now I've lost it.
I did say so many interesting things.
You did.
So I can imagine there's tons of questions.
Okay, next story.
The boys are being so good, by the way.
The Strice brethren, because they love the toast and they respect their mommies.
They do. They respect women who work. Working women.
They do. Next up, Bachelor in Paradise alums Kaylin Miller-Keys and Dean Ungerlert are engaged.
That was, like, the last, I think, like, season of The Bachelor I watched, like, that Bachelor in Paradise. And it was really good, and I was really happy for them, and they, like, proved everyone wrong. And now they're engaged. I thought they would always, they're kind of, like, alternative. Like, they live off the grid. I thought they would be together forever and never, like, you know, give it to the patriarchy and get married. But I love this for them.
I love this for them. I feel like they are the perfect example, obviously don't know what goes on behind closed doors, mm-hmm. of compromise, you know?
Yeah.
And she really adapted to his lifestyle. Yep. I feel like he changed a lot for her. And their relationship seems really beautiful, and they've built this life for themselves that's a blend of both of their
Agreed.
Extremely different personalities.
She's, like, very social.
She's a pageant girl.
Yeah,
and
right.
And he lived in
off the grid, on the van, you know, showering once a week. And, like, she did it. She got in the van and she went. And then they came back and they went to parties, and that was for her. Like, they really do. You're right. It's, like, a perfect blend of two different people making a life together and making it work.
Right. And I feel like even in their content and in their jobs, they're both influencers who are travel influencers. Mm-hmm. And so they're still doing what he likes to do, which is exploring and seeing the world, but maybe, you know, in a hotel for
right,
her.
Right, as opposed to the van.
Right, but they go on all these nature walks, and it's really, really nice.
So I agree.
To see that they got engaged is really beautiful. They haven't confirmed it yet, but a source has confirmed to people that they are.
I think it's nice. I'm really happy for them.
I'm really happy for them too.
I was really rooting for them on that show. Like, I still get all bent out of shape when, like, Blake was sharing those text messages, you know? That was, like, an iconic season of Bachelor in Paradise.
It really was.
One of the last good ones.
These two have come out on top.
You love to see it. Love wins. It really does.
Love wins. So just a reminder of the good old days of Bachelor. Because I, like, when I see every morning, like, Bachelor in Paradise is on right now. Did you
is
know?
It? No.
4 hours a week. Woof.
I just never thought, you know, The Bachelor used to be, like, the center of our brand, the center of our universe, the center of the universe. And I just never thought there would be a day where, like, it wasn't the most relevant show on TV. And then almost just, like, overnight, it became irrelevant.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I had to blame one season or one person. It wasn't even a moment in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back.
I feel like a lot of people stopped watching after Matt's season with all the drama with Chris Harrison, because people were watching for Chris. But I think even before that, like, they were flailing, like, with Claire. Like, it was so chaotic.
Yeah.
And now, to me, the show might as well be off air. Like, that's how irrelevant it is.
I wish I could see what the ratings are, but I don't understand ratings charts. And I think they do that intentionally so that we don't know what's popular.
So that we don't know, like, that literally nobody watches cable.
Yes, they're suppressing information.
Totally. Not to sound crazy or anything.
No. Like, it's, why can't you just tell me? Like,
it's intentionally
in
confusing.
Layman's terms, not 18 to 35 and 0.41.
0.0197.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, happy for Dean and Kaylin.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
The final story. What's the final story? Theo, I love you, and I love the Bruno boys. And that's my cringy Theo.
So crunchy.
Theo has a nice belly for drums, listen.
He's like, get the fuck off.
No, it's not hurting him. My hands are very dainty and small.
They're so gorgeous. I miss the final story song.
Me too. Because I lost my triangle. Do you have your triangle here?
I have it somewhere in the house, but that went away with the remote episodes, you know? How could we have done it?
We can't sing together. Yeah, so I guess we should make the most of our remaining episodes together, which we have quite a few of, don't worry, you guys. And we should
keep singing.
I'll find the triangle.
Our fifth and final story is Gen Z's latest beauty trend.
Okay, wait, let me think because I'm up with the trends. What is it?
Crying makeup. This one's for the sad girls. Crying is now a makeup trend. According to TikTokers, looking like you're on the verge of tears actually makes some people look better, and you don't have to get emotional to achieve the look. Last week, makeup artist Zoe Kim Keneally posted a now viral TikTok directed at the unstable girlies, showing how to achieve a sorrowful look through makeup. In the clip, which has been viewed almost 3 million times, she creates a redness around her eyes, nose, and cheeks using powder and makes her eyes look teary with liquid glitter eyeshadow. To finish, she smudges the lips with a combination of color and gloss, then adds some glittery gel on her face to imitate tears.
Okay, can I say something? Like, not to be like so, I feel like this actually might be something like you would say, like when you're being like, you know.
Contrarian.
When you're being like the kid who tells the teacher, like there's a pop quiz. And this is just like a silly trend. So like maybe I'm looking too much into it, but I feel like, isn't this like literally the definition of like glamorizing like sadness and tragedy? Like, I feel like, shouldn't we be encouraging kids to like reach out for help and like to talk about their feelings and not like become obsessed with being sad? Like maybe I'm really looking too much into this.
No, you're not. This is a disturbing trend.
Right?
Like again, being sad is not a state that we want to remain in.
No, and it's like, of course it's a part of life, but like to glamorize the low parts of life and encourage young people to stay in that phase.
Sadness.
Whereas like, shouldn't, you know, as older people and just like people who've lived, shouldn't we be encouraging the young generation? Like, yeah, sadness is a part of life. Like there's nothing you can do to avoid it, but like lean on your friends and family, talk to someone, go to a counselor. Like
it gets better.
Right. Like this is like kind of weird.
No, I find it disturbing because okay. It's not even just like if you're feeling sad,
do your makeup and feel better.
No, it's not even if you're feeling sad, wear sad makeup and make looking sad is nice. It's like, well, also happy people will now start to look sad. And that's just like the vibe. And I feel like hopefully Gen Z turned off the podcast at this point because it got a little long, but I feel like the zeitgeist is so sad. Like you look at the music that kids are listening to and it's so depressing. Everything is depressing and everything is just like.
Okay, but in defense of Gen Z, the music we were listening to.
Not just Gen Z, because I think it's millennial music too. We're all listening to the same music. The music on the radio, it's just like, of course people experience sadness. You write about sad things, but I feel like no one wants to find an exit strategy for their sadness. Like we're all staying
wallowing
here. And I think that's a not a great thing. I think we should strive for happiness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sadness can't be avoided sometimes, but we don't need to stay here.
No, I agree. It's
And when, if all the music you're listening, like if you're a neutral, if you're feeling neutrally, not happy nor sad, but all of the music on the radio and your playlist that your friends are sharing with you is all like, this music that's bringing you down.
In turn, you will be brought down.
You will be brought down.
Yeah, no, I think like there's definitely, and it's a generational thing. I feel like the younger kids are just like leaning into like sadness and sorrow and like blues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. But then I also think about like when we were kids, like, you know, we were listening like, tonight will be the night that I will fall for you. Like really emo. Like we were like the emo music, How to Save a Life, like
I know,
kill me.
I mean, maybe, you know, older people were like, these kids are so emotional, right, with the emo. But But separately, the kids are not okay. And like you see statistics about how kids are doing right now. And like,
right, especially with social media, like leading to depression.
And yeah. Kids feeling alienated and like, especially girls and what they got, especially with the pandemic. And it's like, we need to be helping them out of
that's really
with
true.
The culture. Like,
I forgot about that. I forgot that they're growing up in the digital age.
And you forgot like the reality of what's happening on the ground. And
right, the social dilemma. Those statistics about like young girls on social media, like comparing themselves. And like, I think it was like 1 in 10 like young teen. No, I'm not going to botch the statistic, but it was like a suicide statistic more affecting teenage girls because on social media, they're constantly comparing themselves to others. And it's like the kids are not okay. And it's because social media plays a huge part in like the destruction of their mental health.
Right. And I feel like it should be the role of Hollywood and influences and influencers to help the kids, you know?
And like be positive influences.
Yeah. And there's no real positive influences for positivity.
There is JoJo Siwa, and she's Gen Z. She might save the kids.
I don't know what the content she's putting out is.
She's just always dancing with bows in her hair and rainbows on her face and sparkling and looking cute and running around and only hanging out with like appropriate influencers. She doesn't do anything nefarious, nothing sexy. Like she is literally a good role model. Like actually, I think often about how I'm happy for the kids that they have JoJo.
Okay, but we need more people.
Of course.
Also like older people and no offense to JoJo. Like, I love what you've built. Like, I hope you're chain smoking cigarettes on the nightly. We need cooler people too.
I'm sorry. Actually, JoJo Siwa is becoming pretty cool. She's not what you think she is. I mean, she's an adult. She's in a relationship now. She came out. Like, she's much more grown. She still dances around like a teenager with sparkles in her hair. But she's not the JoJo that you remember. She's really evolved in the last 2 years. I think she turned 18. Like, she's more mature. She's still not like overly mature. She's still like an age appropriate role model for like teenagers and young prepubescent teens. But she's getting cooler. She wears Gucci like a lot.
Well, then
she actually wears like a ton of Gucci.
She's so rich too. Pretty cool.
Look into JoJo. You're going to like what you see.
Okay, but we need more JoJos. You know,
right now, of course.
The influence is overwhelmingly depressing.
No, it's videos of themselves crying.
And like, there's obviously like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, going through a bad period.
Of course not. It's life.
Anxiety. But I feel like we should be helping the kids to come out of it.
Right.
Not to meet them where they are.
To understand that it's a part of life. It's not life. It's just a part of life. Yeah, no, I agree. So that's a weird trend for sure. Like I raise my eyebrows at it as well.
Yeah. Especially like, I mean, I guess I look kind of cute when I cry. Like,
I look busted.
You know how everyone like takes pictures of themselves when they cry?
Which is such a weird thing. Like I definitely do it sometimes, but yeah.
It's such a weird thing. I definitely do it sometimes.
For sure. Like I'm just curious what I look like. There's definitely like a psychological study on like why people do that.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Yeah. Then like also like people video themselves. Like they just leave their phone in the corner when they're having like a true fucking mental breakdown. And like that is like a little weird to me, honestly. Yeah. Like I just saw a video like she went viral and like people were reaching out like you're gonna be fine. She had like a full blown mental breakdown. Like her boyfriend was like, you know, calming her down, rubbing her back, like saying positive words to her.
They filmed it.
Yeah, and they filmed it. And like at first the comments were like, oh man, that's so sweet. He's such a good boyfriend. And then like a couple people, and then it became like a thing. It's like, so you're having this like mental fucking breakdown. Like what possessed you to like prop your phone up and put the light on to like get a video? Like it was bizarre.
Yeah, and then.
And then it makes me feel like that wasn't a genuine breakdown.
Wait, and not even just prop your phone up. Like maybe you want to watch it back one day. Mm-hmm. Like remember this dark place that you were in. But then also posting it.
Yeah. No, it's.
And also post.
I just don't know where to draw the line between like being genuine and authentic and transparent on the internet, but then also like being a little contrived.
Being a little contrived. And also like, I do think that there are things that should be for yourself.
I agree with that completely. So those were the Fast Five. Let's dive into our TV recap because I know you're dying to talk about Tell Me Lies. And it is brought to you by Match, the dating app. Do you. Let me ask you a question, Jackie. Sorry. Do you?
I do me.
Match, the dating app, is pretty hot and bothered about this topic because understandably, it's a juicy one. Match believes that the most important relationship you have is with yourself. So in a world where you can choose to do anything or anyone, choose yourself first because dating someone who knows what they want and won't settle for less, that is sexy as hell. So if you're over some of the men in your life who are just like not, or women, sorry, not me being heteronormative. If you're over like the people in your life who are either not treating you right, not a good match, not compatible, whatever the reason is, here are some alternatives for people who really just might be more beneficial to your life. Like You can be with your own best. You could be your own best friend. You know, who's better than me? Should I go on a date with Smelly Joe or should I go on a date with me?
With McClardia.
With McClardia. So you can take yourself out to dinner, take yourself home. If the conversation isn't stimulating, you can stimulate yourself. If they're the ghosting type, be your own boo. Their boring stories don't have an off switch or three different intensity settings. If they're only hot and you're only bothered, make yourself hot and bothered. So if you do you, you already know the best relationships show up when you show up for yourself first. There's never been a better time to try Match. Download the Match app today. I know we have a ton of listeners and just people I know in my life who've had so much success with the Match app. And I love that Match really encourages you guys to like, I feel really strongly like you shouldn't put yourself out there unless like you are comfortable with yourself. And that means like really knowing who you are, what you want, and like taking care of yourself first. And Match totally endorses that. So before you get on Match and start meeting great people, make sure that like you yourself are in the right place and like you feel like you're at a, you know, a point in your life where you can really give yourself to someone. Because if you can't love yourself, in the words of RuPaul, how the hell are you going to love anybody else?
Thank you, McClardia. Tell Me Lies. Okay, yes. This segment will be full of spoilers of the season finale and the whole season starting now. What the fucking fuck?
Yeah, I honestly, like, I don't want to be so negative, but, like, I didn't really understand why the last maybe four episodes were big nothing burgers. And then they just, like, shoved so much random shit in this one episode. It was like they ran out of time or something. Like, it felt so weird.
I know. And I felt like we were going to actually have all the answers
in this one episode
because we were getting to a lot of places. Also, the biggest answer or thing that I got from this episode is Lucy is the villain of this show.
Yeah.
She starts as the protagonist, but I think that might be like the twist of the book is that she is the worst person on the show. And you think it's Steven because obviously
Pippa's
like, okay, I don't want to be friends with Pippa. Pippa is my queen and my absolute.
And justice for Pippa.
And my God is Diana. Like Diana.
Jackie was screaming when they walked down the stairs together. We watched together.
Screaming. Every scene Diana came in last night, first at the coffee shop where she's just fucking slaughters them. Mm-hmm. Didn't even have to do anything. Just showed how fucking losery. Right.
Oh, you're missing out on your trip to India and then you're going to do literally nothing all summer just so you could, you know, hope to hang out with your boyfriend who's mean to you. Oh,
like,
cool.
Loserville, population you, no ambition. Like what?
Oh, and Diana's going to work at a premium law office.
Right. And she would have helped Steven get there right. And you're helping Steven go nowhere, even though in his heart of hearts, Steven wants to better himself.
Right.
And obviously Steven is a psychopath. I mean, he literally killed Macy and left her there. For
right.
Dead.
And you called that.
I did. He is a very bad person, of course. And so,
and I love that that was the last thing Macy said to him. She's like, you're literally like a bad person.
Right. And so up until last night's episode, I thought he was the worst person on the show. But the worst person is Lucy because she masquerades as a good person. I think she thinks she's a good person. Whereas Steven, like, I think knows he's a psychopath. And it's like when the psychopath is scared of you.
No, she's like a horrible friend too. Horrible. And now I loved him. We finally went back to the wedding because we had like so much context.
And when she slept with Evan. Like, oh, that was right. When, goodbye. Good day.
I mean, I'm glad that it didn't derail him still marrying Bree. I don't know if Bree knows, but like, it's really inconsequential at this point.
Right. And like, she ruined Pippa's relationship. She ruined Rickley's life and is lying about it. I would never.
Yeah. No, she's never. Diabolical.
Diabolical.
She's a terrible friend. She's so like self-centered. And she's so not self-aware because like anyone who has an ounce of self-awareness would like really, it's not really, Steven isn't really hiding the fact that he's not like, he doesn't love her. He's just afraid of her now because he happened to have told her this information, which was obviously the biggest regret of his life because he should be with Diane and his life would be back on track and he wouldn't be getting an A- and not getting an internship for the summer if it weren't for Lucy.
Right. And if he doesn't have an internship the summer before his senior year, like getting a job after his senior year will be even harder. His prospects will be smaller and he is already like, starting from behind,
right?
You know,
because he doesn't have like connections like everyone else. Yeah, she's just the worst. And like when they walked down the stairs, I was like, I was shook.
I thought she was obviously going to walk in on them hooking up. Me too. More of the same. But when he just unilaterally decided that like he was fucking done with her,
right? Like I'm breaking up with you, and I'm not even going to tell you.
And in two fucking seconds, Diana swoops in and steals her man's back. Like, obviously, I think Diana can do much better, and I'm glad to see that in the 5 years later, they're not together. But whatever Diana wants, I want.
Okay,
I need a spinoff about Diana. Diana Summer, Diana's life.
Tell me Diana.
What does Diana think?
Tell Diana lies.
I am obsessed with her.
Okay, but then, I agree. I'm glad it wasn't her who ended up being engaged to Steven 5 years later. However, I really wish that they had put Lydia is Lucy's friend from home. And when Lucy called her to like hang out, I wish they had just like shown her face and been like, oh, sorry, I can't hang out. Because when she showed up at the pool and was engaged to Steven. I'm like, who is this bitch?
Yeah. They showed her in the
previously preview,
so she was top of
mind.
She
needed to be in the episode.
Yeah. I wonder how those two get together.
Right. So now it's like, there will be a second season. I don't imagine it's not being greenlit. Like, everyone is watching the show.
Are you going to read the book? Or no. Are
you going to wait? No, I just like it as a TV show. I feel like I won't like
the book because it's apparently really different, but I literally need to know. Like, I actually, please no one spoil it for me, but like, I want someone to tell me what the fuck happened.
And by the way, we were both under the impression that like Drew died because at the wedding he was like,
yesterday was his brother's birthday.
Right. Be cool. Don't be so hard on him. So we still don't have any clarity because kind of the whole season I was waiting for Drew to like overdose or something because he was so depressed. And I thought we knew already that he had died.
Right.
But maybe he's not.
Maybe he's not. Maybe him and Wrigley just haven't spoken in 6 years.
Maybe he's in a coma.
Yesterday was the birthday. Right. And that's hard for Wrigley. I feel so bad for Wrigley. Like
me too. He's a peejon. He's like annoying, but he's a peejon.
Lucy and Steven ruined his life. And yeah. He's a good person.
And really him and Pippa, even though she like wasn't into him as much as he was into her, they were a nice couple.
They were. And even though I don't think she was in love with him like he was with her, like she really cares about him, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she didn't do the shit that she's being accused of. Like, if he wanted to be mad at her for, like, hooking up with another girl, sure, like, but she's not lying. And I just need Lucy to go down. I need her to go down fast.
At the end of the day, she's framed. But I don't really think she goes down because if she was, like, she wouldn't be invited to this wedding.
Right. But we saw in episode one, there is this weird tension between her and Pippa. And when she pulls up to the wedding, it's like she doesn't want to be there. She didn't even bring her boyfriend. Like, I do think she's on the outs with the group. And of course, in episode one, I was like, why are all these wenches being
mean to Lucy? And it's like, ew, no, they're probably all like, Lucy has to come.
They weren't mean enough.
She really is like so stunning. Like it's insane.
She is. But you know, her insides are for me. Or like, I hate that face now because I'm hating this woman.
Yeah.
Hating.
No, I'm hating as well.
And like what she put her mom through. And it's like, I think Steven.
By the way, tell me one thing her mom did wrong.
That she had an affair.
It wasn't an affair. Their dad was dying.
Right.
It's not an affair. Honestly, I'm sure if the dad knew, he would have been like, yeah, please, like, go.
No, and she, like, keeps telling the story and everyone has such a big reaction.
I don't think it's that crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy.
No, it definitely, like, would be weird and it would take me a little while to, like, get over it. But 5 years later, I'm telling everybody about it in college. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
If that's your, and she really is, like, so privileged. And I think that's why everyone resents her. Like, she, like, that's your biggest trauma. Like, my God, you know what other people go through in their life?
Right.
Not to, like, minimize anyone's trauma.
But. No, but also, she's so not driven. Like, she's really just, like, wasting her time in school, like, right. And just floundering through the whole
failing
experience.
That class, not getting a summer job,
right, not even going to India, which she talked about all mm-hmm. year. Yeah. Like it's so
losery.
Diametrically opposed to Diana, my queen.
Diana, like ambitious queen. Diana's gonna be on the Supreme Court. Like
I can't wait.
So it was a really good show. We do have to wait to see if they get greenlit, so it'll be a while before we find out, which I know is gonna be tough for you.
I don't know what to do. I think we're reading the book. I guess I'll get to the end, but I won't enjoy it. So I don't know what to do.
Do you want to do Dear Toasters or should we move it to tomorrow? Because I feel like we have nothing to talk about tomorrow. Oh no, actually there's so much TV recap
Beverly
tomorrow.
Hills is tonight.
And Salt Lake City. All right, so let's do Dear Toasters. Beverly I was just Hills. Thinking we were already at an hour, but I guess we're going long today. All right, Dear Toasters, our advice segment where you can write in deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always keep your shit anonymous and you could write in about anything that you're going through. So let's help our girlies out today. What do you say, Jax?
I say yes. I'm still thinking about Tell Me Lies, though. Like, it's got me all messed up.
Dear beautiful, stunning, and smart queens, I'll make this short. My father-in-law got married last year to a woman who's only 4 years older than my husband and I. They not only got married at the same wedding venue as us 3 years later, but now they're expecting a baby the same month that my son was born. He'll just have turned one by the time their baby is born, and he will have an uncle that is younger than him. I'm not sure if I should feel. I'm not sure if I should feel offended that both my wedding venue and my baby's birth month has been taken from me. Help me sort this out. You're stretching a little bit on the birth month. It's like you can't call a month.
No, you can't. And I did think at first it was like they are both
due at the same time,
which would be weird. Complicated. But you know what? It's his life. And sure, the wedding venue thing, I guess, is like a little weird. But really, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Like if he's happy and she's, you know, makes him happy and they have a new family, like let him live life.
Yeah. I mean, is she a wench? Like, do you like her on a personal level? Like, or are you just looking for things to dislike? Because with the birthday
because
month.
Because on its face, it's like unconventional.
Yeah.
But.
Is she a good girl? Is she a good mom? Is she a good aunt?
Like,
is she a good stepmom?
Family. Like.
Yeah. It sounds like you maybe just like don't like her, and so you're looking for things like to call her out on. Like, she took my birth month.
No, or that like you think that it should be weird, so you're insisting that it is, you know? But I think that it could be nice.
No, same venue is definitely weird.
Okay, maybe it's a small town and there's one big bad venue in town.
Right.
There's maybe one like that's
one,
the nicest.
Yeah, one hall.
Yeah, that like is the nicest.
It's possible. But that I could see, like, that's not a reach. Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah, it's a little bizarre. But like, as far as him having a younger uncle, it treated like a cousin, and it's
a uncle,
a yet uncle. It's nice for the kids.
Yeah, that's true. It's unconventional, but like at this point they're married, so you might as well just like lean in and start. It's like a friend, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the most of it if you want to. And I would encourage you to do that because it's life. Life is long.
Yeah. It's family.
And it's family.
As long as no one's doing anything like like particularly nefarious, mm-hmm. It's just unconventional, but convention.
Yeah. You said but convention?
Buck.
Buck convention. Yes. Sounds like a conference that a lot of bucks go to. Buck convention 2022. Coming to a town near you.
That's funny.
Hey, Jackson Claude. I have the most beautiful, stunning, and smart friend. She is really unmatched. However, she has now been dating a loser for the past year, and I need some advice on how or if I should say something. She hid this relationship from me and her mom, who she's super close with, for almost 4 months, and I think she did so because she knew we would disapprove of him right away. And we did. My first experience with him was watching him get into a bar fight in which he was the one in the wrong, and he ended up breaking his hand. So it wasn't just a quick little tiff. It was quite a lot. There were a few other awkward, disappointing encounters after that, but my husband encouraged me to give him one more chance because she's so important to me. The last chance I gave him ended with him being a drunken, immature asshole, jumping on top of a stranger's car, going through a drive-thru with people in the car. I wanted to die of embarrassment. My best friend deserves the world. She is so much ahead of her, and this guy is really dragging her down. It's hard for me to want to defend her in her relationship when people ask me why she's with him. I'm scared to say something to her and have her shut me out because in the past she's gotten defensive of little comments I have made. But I can't keep watching her waste her time and reputation on him. What would you do? Like, it sounds like there are just some people who like make bad choices when it comes to romance, and like they don't want to be helped, and it's like frustrating to be their friend and want to help, but I just feel like you have to let people like be miserable on their own. Do you know what I mean?
And learn for themselves. Like, I always think, you know, issuing a warning won't just...
If I saw some guy I was dating get out of his car in a drive-thru, wasted, jump on someone's car, I would be so mortified because I'm a normal human being.
Right.
And some people just don't have that receptor, so it takes them a really bad, something really bad to happen for them to open their eyes. Like, okay.
I think you say your piece and then you let her make her own choices. The only thing is it will inevitably affect your friendship, mm-hmm. because if it were me, like, I don't want to be around that person. Right. I don't want to be around that guy. So I'll hang out with you. We can get our nails done, whatever. But all these like couple-y things that we would be doing, we're not going to be doing.
Yeah.
And yes, your friendship will be affected, but that is her choosing him over you, which is her choice to make.
Yeah. And there might come a time where they're no longer together and she'll come crawling back and you're a good friend, so you'll let her in. And then this, like, I feel like with people like this, it's just a cycle. Like,
yeah, they have to learn for themselves. There's no telling someone.
I know. And it's like, you then just become the villain by saying something, even right. though you're coming from a genuine POV. Like, you just become the villain because you're saying something like they don't want to hear.
You're a naysayer.
Right.
I think that if you're genuinely concerned, you should say something because you don't, like, yeah, I think that's your responsibility as a friend to yeah. just like, also it starts to plant in her head, like, my friends and my family don't like him. Maybe that's something to think about, as yeah. opposed to her thinking everything's fine.
Like, the next time she gets mad at him, like, now she also has in her brain, like, wow, Sarah doesn't approve of him, or right. whatever this girl's name is.
Right. So just let her know how you feel. And then you got to step away and let the chips fall where they may.
Right. Like, at some point, like, we're not in college anymore. Like, we're all growing up. Like, you have a marriage. Like, you need to take care of your marriage. You can't be like fixing her relationship. It's her life and it's her choices and it's her mistakes to make.
Yeah.
All right. Third and final is a little bit lighter. Hello, Jackson Claude. Hope you're having a great week together. Let's get into it.
I think we are having a great week.
Fabulous. We're going to the grocery store after this. I can't wait. I'm getting married this summer to the most amazing man. He's got everything. Kind, humble. He's the most loving partner I could ask for. He also has an interesting mustache. Handlebars, literal twists on the side of his face that he just thinks are hysterical. Mostly I just deal with this odd choice and cringe when strangers compliment it, but I'm really not thrilled with the idea that he will have this punchline on his face for our wedding. I mean, those pictures last forever. Any reasoning I use to try to convince him to shave them off is met with, but I've never felt more me. What is a girl supposed to say to that? Any advice on how to lovingly steer him in a different direction from a lucky in love, except for the mustache?
Maybe it's just me, but like, I only care what I look like in the pictures.
It's such a good point.
Like, I don't even look at the other person's in the pictures when it's like my wedding pictures.
No, I mean, I've looked at my wedding pictures 1,000 times. And if you had told me like Tom Selleck was standing next to me, I'd believe you because I've never looked at Ben.
Right. And it's like, and then eventually when they're hanging on the wall one day, like only he's going to have.
I have an idea.
Photoshop?
No, I have an idea.
Is it to Photoshop
the pictures? No, I have an idea. I have the idea.
Okay.
It's such a long day. What do you wake up at 6 to start taking photos? Once you guys are dressed, do a ton of photos with the mustache. Then shave it before the wedding and take more pictures. That's a good idea.
But I don't think for him, it's not that he wants photos with his mustache, just that he wants to be a mustachioed man.
Bring my idea up to him. Like, okay, for real.
Sure.
That's a good idea.
So it's hard to relate because I don't know how much this would bother me.
Oh, it would bother me. Like, you know, Ben and his facial hair. Remember during the pandemic when he had a beard?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And now I look back and I hated it then and I look back and I fucking hate it.
So then what would you do?
See, the thing with me is like, I'm a bitch naggy wife and like, I get what I want. And this winter break, I want Jordan. So like, I would get my way because I'm a Bull Vaughn. Like, you know what I do? I'd take the razor and like cut a thing, like a piece of the beard off. So he'd have to like, I put him in a position where he looked more stupid with it on. Like, take a pair of scissors when he's sleeping and cut off one of the handlebars. He can't go one handlebar. So I'll be like, all right, I guess I'll just shave the whole thing.
But is that a way to like start a marriage? What if he like was like, oh, you're crazy?
Well, I don't think a way to start a marriage is a husband not listening to a wife. So now we're even.
But it's his body, his choice.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No. When you get married, it's not your body. Only for the man, though. Like, my body, my choice. Ben's body, my choice.
Okay. But they're not married yet.
Even when we were engaged.
It was your choice.
It's my body.
But you didn't do anything about the beard in the pandemic.
I mean, it was so hard to like scrounge up an ounce of like give a shit during the pandemic, like about anything. I didn't care about anything enough in the pandemic to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was giving low energy.
I feel you. Okay, so keep working it, you know?
Yeah.
Keep dropping hints.
Yeah.
You could be aggressive, as Claudia has said.
I gave two good ideas. Either chop one of the handlebars off or have him agree to shave it for the wedding, but you'll get a ton of pictures before with it on.
Yeah, that's a good compromise. My advice would be try and make peace with it, you know?
Nah. It's weird.
It's not for me.
No, and it's like,
but doesn't it like tickle your face? Did he have it when you guys met?
Yeah, what is the genesis of the mustache? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Out of all these options, do the one that feels most in tune with you.
I feel like the one shaving it the day of the wedding after pictures is probably the best one. That's like, that's called compromise. This is a wedding. Like, people have to compromise in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to everyone who wrote in deartoasters@gmail.com. Every Wednesday we will read your quandaries on air and we will do our best to help you and keep them anonymous, of course, so don't worry about that. That is our show. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Morning Toast. Leave a 5-star.
You sound like, what is that? Ugh, I don't know.
Leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are.
Goodbye.
Have a great day, guys. Love you.
Bye.